Stay up to date on the green and gold all season. The Green and Gold Fix podcast is brought to you by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Luxury stay, elite play, unwind in sophisticated comfort. Win big, dine, and experience the events in Milwaukee.
It's the 10 o'clock hour.
William Tausch
begins now. And it begins. Jesse, did you read this whole thing? Start to finish?
No.
Okay, didn't think so. Because it says right
Barnwell.
Here, I just got done reading it, which I think is misleading.
That was a joke. Yeah. It was published last Wednesday, and I just got done reading it.
Sure. That's good. That's funny, yeah. You need Justin to come back. Could Justin call back and just laugh?
We need him for a laugh track.
Yeah. I don't think Justin would have laughed at that, though, would he have? Justin's laughs seem authentic to me.
They did. Yeah, we could play that Tony Palmer laugh. I know we've kind of segued away from Tony Palmer, your former teammate.
I'll say this. I heard the best drop, and I'm sure Jesse's already got it down, and this guy has given us at least three drops, but I think the fourth is coming. Jesse, what are you giving me that look like? You don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Mike McCarthy, our king of drops outside of Mark Murphy. They're our drop guys. And Mike McCarthy's description of Zeke coming back to be in his backfield needs to be a drop. I don't know when you're going to use it, Jesse, but he basically said it's great to have Zeke back, even though he hits him in the keister. Is that a fair assessment Mike?
So you get after me for not responding timely enough to things I send, that you send me, right? You get after me.
Sure.
I sent you that when it came out. I got nothing back. I thought, I thought this was pretty good. I thought I'd get some sort of reaction.
That's a great drop, of course.
Yeah, you didn't reply. Yeah. I got no reply here. I'm just saying.
That's on me. It's fair.
Thank you for taking ownership.
Very frustrating.
Seriously, now that we've teased it, if you have not heard it, I know Jesse sometimes runs into some technical glitches playing from Twitter, so he may have
case right now, so we'll get this ready.
To record it and play it back later. This is, I will say this. I get along great with Matt LaFleur. He didn't really like that I asked him about why he had his arm in a sling. I knew you'd be the one to ask that. I was surprised that didn't become a drop when I asked him that at the rookie camp. But how do you not like Mike McCarthy? You know, like Jerry Seinfeld's mom. How does anyone not like you? I know there are people that would have liked to have seen more Super Bowls on his watch that are mad about the 2014 NFC Championship game, although I would argue there are plenty of people to be mad at beyond Mike McCarthy from that game. But how do you not like Mike McCarthy? I mean, not that I like getting slapped at a... I mean, is he impossible not to like?
Oh, I bet there's people in Dallas that don't like him.
I'm guessing there are, especially after the way the playoffs went for them. All right, so back to Bill Barnwell. Jesse, since you read this from start to finish starting on Wednesday and wrapped it up earlier today, what was that piqued your interest from old Barnsey?
So Bill Barnwell put up his article, very long as per usual, but it highlighted 2024 NFL draft winners and losers. Players impacted by rookie picks. So normally when we say winners and losers from the NFL draft, you're thinking teams and who they picked or players who were selected and dropped in stock value or whatever. But this is examining current players who were impacted by decisions that teams made. Mm. And this popped up on ESPNWisconsin.com because a Green Bay Packers player was identified in one of the categories by old Billy B.
Mm.
Any guesses as to which player that was? I think Jason knows the answer.
Yeah, I read the story.
Do you know the answer?
Let me correct that. I read the part about the Packers, so I know the answer. Tausch, what's your guess?
I don't know. So I'm
would you
curious
like to...
as far as...
So you're saying you don't want to guess?
No, I don't. What? So who is it, Jesse?
The player who was identified as a loser, based on what
Which
the team decided in the 2024 NFL draft, is Rashid Walker on the offensive line.
Yeah, I would disagree with Barnwell on that because I think A.J. Dillon probably would be more so in that realm of how the draft shook out and where they're looking at it.
Great answer.
Rashid Walker, while in the long run the first-round pick is going to get his opportunities, Rashid Walker's coming in as the incumbent, and I think if he plays really good football, they're going to let old boy kind of sit. And I think you already kind of heard it. Well, he's a little sloppy with his hands, and I think the Packers are, if nothing else, patient. They are not rush guys in too soon team. A lot of other teams are. The Packers, especially at premium positions, they want to make sure they give their players the best opportunity to have long-term success, especially people they invest in. They've invested in Jordan Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't really invested in Rashid Walker. They have by giving him reps, but I'm talking from a financial commitment.
Sure.
So while I see where Barnwell's coming from, and the odds are Jordan Morgan will eclipse Rashid Walker at some point, I don't think that's as set in stone as I think. Now, if A.J. Dillon can hold off Marshawn Lloyd, that'll be a hell of a job by A.J. Dillon because I think they drafted him for a reason. Uh-huh. They drafted him higher than most people anticipated.
Uh-huh.
I think, Jason, correct me if I'm wrong, I have written on my notes 88th, which is what, late
correct.
Second, early third?
Third
is that
round.
Where
third round
Lloyd?
Pick. He is a third
so
round pick.
An early third. They didn't pay A.J. Dillon a ton. They have really no financial commitment to him unless he makes the team. So I just feel like there's opportunities for all these guys. I think there's more of an opportunity for Marshawn Lloyd to take meaningful reps early in this season to grab more reps later than where Jordan Morgan is. That's how I would look at this.
I think you make a very good point, and they could also still play Jordan Morgan. I know it would put our favorite jersey number other than 65 on this show, 75, on the bench. Brian Bulaga's old number, currently worn by Sean Ryan. But I don't think Sean Ryan is guaranteed anything. Like, I think he is the incumbent now, after rotating with John Runyon, that you would think he is going to win the right guard job. But with those alleged short arms of Jordan Morgan, and the fact that it felt like there was a little bit of pushback from the coaches, not in a harsh, mean-spirited way, but they were aware that Jordan Morgan basically said in his first media session with us, I want to be the left tackle. Which, by the way, is not a bad thing to say.
Not at all.
Like, I don't want to paint that as, oh, he spoke out of school, how dare he say that. But the coach's response was kind of, you know, we want to get the best five out there. And if we think Rashid Walker is one of the best five, and he belongs at left tackle, then Jordan Morgan is going to have to play somewhere else first, which could be right guard, theoretically. So I don't disagree. I think your point is an excellent one, though. I was talking to Domofsky about this while we were waiting for the coaches the other day, and the guaranteed money for A.J. Dillon as part of a veteran minimum extension, you know, this fourth-year option contract, $167,000, which, as he and I both joked, that's a lot of money to us like normal people that work in the real world, but to an NFL team, that is less than popcorn money. That's like popcorn salt money, right? So they have not committed to him in any way. If they decide that they want to go with Marshawn Lloyd and Emmanuel Wilson because they like his potential, yeah, A.J. Dillon's got his work cut out for him. There is no real commitment to him with that contract. And look, I'm not writing him off, but as we talked about with Ben Sermons, the running backs coach, like, he has had two opportunities to really seize being the guy in 2022 and in 2023. 2023 when Aaron Jones was injured, 2022 when they basically wanted to give him the job so they could move on from Aaron Jones, and Aaron Jones was like, nuh-uh, I'm much better. So I just don't get the feeling that I don't think the deck is necessarily stacked against him, but he's going to have to really earn his keep. And I know everyone has to do that, but him more so than others. Fair?
Yeah, I think not getting the financial commitment and kind of what you just reillustrated, but I think it's more so about the fact that they went out and paid a guy, and they brought in someone that I think they view as a home run hitter. And there's no doubt in my mind, the way Goody is drafting and how he's approaching roster building, young athletes everywhere. I want them everywhere. I want home run hitters. The idea of I need a hard-nosed, tough, get me 2 yards. Well, unfortunately, that's not been. I think we all assumed that was going to be A.J. Dillon.
Right.
Because he's a big quadzilla, that whole deal. That's not what Matt LaFleur, I think, is looking for. I think he's looking for versatile. And by the way, I don't want to paint the picture. A.J. Dillon, when he catches the ball out of the backfield, is much better than people anticipated he was going to be.
Agreed.
I think he now it's about staying healthy and showing burst, because I think if they can, they want Marshawn Lloyd to be their number two back.
I agree.
And they want him as a complimentary piece. And I wouldn't be shocked if you see A.J. Dillon try to fit into that role that they were looking at giving DeGuara, trying to move him around and piece him in a smaller sample size. That's what I think they want. And if he can't play special teams, then it gets real tricky as a third or even a second back, but especially if you're the third back
right,
and you're not, then all of a sudden your guy that you like, Emmanuel, all of a sudden he climbs that rank and you're not keeping four backs.
Nope,
not
you're
with
right.
this receiving core, not with these tight ends. So it's going to be a three-back team, and you wonder, where does that make old Dillon fit? I don't know the answer. He'll have an opportunity. They obviously know him well, and they knew him well enough to say, all right, we'll take you back, but if there's any other opportunity, you go for it. And yeah. when all things shook out, this is what happened.
Yeah, they didn't draft Marshawn Lloyd in the sixth round. They drafted him in the third round. That tells you what you need to know.
They expect him to be a player.
About that, yes. We expect you to tell us about American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly.
And American Family Insurance wants to give you and a friend a VIP experience at a Badger football or basketball game during the 2024 season. You and a friend, pre-game, sideline or courtside passes, tour of the facility, and tons of great merch to support your Wisconsin Badgers. Enter today at amfam.com/badgers. No purchases necessary. Dream fearlessly, insure carefully.
There was one clip from Rich Bisaccia last week that we didn't get to. We're going to get to it next. I thought it was pretty interesting. We'll see if you think so, too. It's Wilde and Tausch.